We usually go to a little more worship right here. So this one Sunday, just this one Sunday, I'm not going to do this on a regular basis. But this one Sunday, there's so much information I have to get out. So much information on what we're dealing with that I asked God, and God put it on my heart that let's just get the truth out. Hopefully we'll have time at the end for some worship. But what is happening is so important that I needed time. So we're going to go straight into our sermon today. If you're offended or don't like this, please come talk to me later. I got feedback last week from my sermon. Not good on some. People wanted me to, one person in particular wanted me to retract things I said last week or reword them. And that's not going to happen. Be honest, I'll be very, very honest. When I do a sermon, there's lots of prayer and lots of time and research that goes into it. When I'm giving you the Word of God, I'm giving you the Word of God. I don't add to it. I don't take away from it. When I give you statistics or anything dealing with the media, there's much research done. The problem today is we're getting pretty much the media. We're getting one side of what is happening here. And that's not good. And, you know, we need to hear, especially when it comes like with the virus, and I'm going to talk a little more about that today. We need to hear both sides. So, deception, great deception. Last week I talked about the deception, and this week we're going to transfer into the great deception. Hey, one of our security guys out back, there's somebody wanting to get in. We're not going to be able to get fully to the great deception today. What I'm going to do is I'm going to connect what we talked about last week to what we're going to be talking about this week. There's so much, I couldn't leave it out. I have to share it with you guys. So we're going to be transitioning from the deception to the great deception. You know, I think you'll see as I go why. Now, before I get started, I posted this to the church Facebook page. Go to the next slide, Levi. There's a great discussion, hour and a half, with Jack Hibbs and Amir Safati. Very good, posted 2 days ago. I really encourage everyone, if you have the ability, to go to the website, go to Facebook or go to YouTube and watch this discussion. Very, very good. All right, enough said with that. Going on to the deception, great deception, and greater truth. Now, I know people are going to get overwhelmed with all the information I've been giving. And a lot of it is kind of dark and depressing. And we're like, well, let's get to the greater truth. And the greater truth is coming. I promise we will end this series on the greatest of truths. But we still have to see and understand the deception that is around us. What has been happening and what is coming. The great deception. But I want you to focus on this as we do. John 16, Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe? Indeed, the hour is coming, yes, has now come, that you'll be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. And yet, I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Never lose sight of that. Okay? Don't lose sight of that today as I unload all this stuff that I need to unload. Now, if we go to our diagram of the end times eschatology, as I said, the signs of the times, everything that the prophecy, the Bible has told us about the end of the church age with the rapture of the church, we see that stuff happening. Now, here's the little glitch. Oh, I'm away from the pulpit. The days of sorrows, we've talked about this in times past. We don't know how long these days of sorrows, the birth pains, are going to happen that the Bible warned us about. Is it a few months? A few years? Could be. And so what we've understood a lot of times, especially because of Christian movies, the rapture movies, end time movies, that when the rapture happens in the movie, how is life right before the rapture? It's normal. nothing's going on. They're just kind of living life and boom, suddenly the church is gone and then the world goes into the tribulation period. Bible never says it like that. Basically, it says that near the end of the church age, times are going to be tough. The church, the faithful church, is going to be small. Very little strength, as Jesus put it. But holding on, persevering. Much of the church will be corrupt. Society will be really bad off. Violent. Persecution will be up. Why I say this is that, yes, we have the rapture to look forward to. When Paul wrote to the Thessalonians and 1 Thessalonians, the letter, they were under severe persecution and he encouraged them with the rapture. The rapture will come when the church is under persecution. And we'll see that as we go today. We understand that right now there's a lot of deception in the world, and we've discussed in the last 2 weeks why the Romans won judgment. God judges the nations. He says he will. Nations have national sins. And yes, God will judge a nation even with believers in it. And the believers will experience the national judgment. Life can get difficult. God will not judge us for our personal sins because Christ has forgiven us. But if our nation goes astray, the Israelites, there was always a remnant of the Jews who were faithful. What about Daniel? Did he suffer a national judgment? Yes, he had to go into Babylon in captivity because the nation had sinned. The nations are suffering the judgment one, Romans 1 judgment right now. And the debased mind, they stop thinking correctly. Then we saw in 2 Thessalonians 2, near the end of days, the deception of the lawless one will be great. He'll bring great deception. And because people have a debased mind already by the judgment, they're going to be prone to believe the deception. And then God sends strong delusion on those who refuse the truth. They don't want the truth. So last week we talked about all the deception. We talked about the homosexual agenda and the deception there. And the marriage and gender identity was included in that one. The climate change, racism, defund the police, legalization of drugs, the coronavirus. All these agendas are fostering deception of different levels and degrees. And they've accomplished something. What most of these deceptions have accomplished is this. It's drawn a line between Bible-believing Christians and the unbelieving world. You'll see this, and I think you're going to start seeing it more and more in our culture, this line where those who believe in the Bible and we stand for the truth and we're not going to compromise, we're going to be on opposite sides of people who believe these agendas. All this deception is designed to divide people, take people away from the truth of God and His Word, to prepare them to accept the great deception that is coming. And it is a new world order. And don't let your conspiracy radar alarm go off. I will show you this today. The great deception that is coming. These deceptions and everything have want people to be dependent on government and not God. Government wants to become God. So any voices out there telling people, do not depend on government, look to God, they're going to be silenced. The deception is to isolate true believers from the rest of the world, even here in America, is starting to happen. You'll see that the United States basically, as I've done this research, the United States is basically the last holdout in the world for the New World Order. But it's coming. I'm going to show you that today. And for it to come, America must be brought down. Or it must be radically changed, transformed. have the Constitution undermined or if not destroyed, but America needs to be radically transformed for this agenda to take place. And that is what we are starting to see. Here this last week, AOC, Progressive House Dems, call for transformative change across America after the Georgia Senate elections. Those elections were important because it gave all three branches of government to one party, to the Democrat Party. They're in full control of everything that's going to take place for the next 2 years. A lot of tweets out there from government officials. I want to read you a couple that I saw. This is a representative. She says, "Victory in Georgia must lead to transformative change across America. Recurring survival checks, getting people dependent on government, union jobs that pay a living wage, guaranteed health care, racial justice," again, the whole idea that racism is systemic, it's everywhere, everybody's racist, they just don't realize it. "Voting rights." I don't get that one. Seems like anybody can vote today. Voting rights, maybe. Immigration reform, okay, that's open borders, that's getting rid of borders, which is part of the agenda of the globalists. Climate action, we've talked about the deception of climate change, man-made climate change. Repro justice, that means reproduction. Reproductive, thank you. Babies. This is basically a way of saying they want abortion. Education and much more. I can't wait. She goes on to a later tweet, list of progressive agenda goals, COVID-19 relief, green renewable energy infrastructure, the Green New Deal is coming our way, humane immigration policy, racial justice again, universal health care, bold climate policies. There's your Green New Deal. There's going to be some radical changes to our lives in the next couple of years because of the Green New Deal. Universal child care, again, depending on the government to take care of our children instead of parents. Family leave, free college. How are we going to afford that? Universal health care and free college and open borders and everyone coming. These policies, they're not thinking it out because this is going to bankrupt us. How many trillions of dollars are we already in debt? And so this is going to bankrupt America. It's going to take us down as a nation. All this intentionally, I think. Another one. "Hello, it's a new day. Who's ready to push?" AOC said in an emoji-filled tweet on Wednesday, "Ready to push for retroactive COVID relief, to push for student loan cancellation." You know, I'm still paying on mine, and I'm not going to take some government bailout. You know, my GI Bill covered my undergrad, my seminary degrees. I had to pay for and take loans out, and I had to work, and I'm working. I'm still paying them off. I got 3 more years. Why should all these students who are going there, let them get jobs, let them work, let them, why do we have to pay for all their college? Yes, climate justice, because we're harming, humanity's harming nature. You're going to see that a little bit later today as well. Healthcare, voting rights, ending the death penalty. You understand? Everything that, and I'm not trying to be political here, everything the Democratic Party stands for is anti-Bible. Do you know God instituted the death penalty? There's nothing immoral about the death penalty. If someone is so bad and so wicked that we have to lock them up forever, the death penalty is an option for a society to rid itself of people who are too unsafe to be in the public. But they're against everything that is biblical. Now, secular Democrats of America. This is a letter. Several members of Congress and the Senate belong to the secular Democrats of America. It's a page, it's a letter, I think 27 pages or so, to Vice President or President-elect Biden and Vice President-elect Harris. This is what they want. This is what they want Biden to cause to happen in the next couple of years. Now, I just have to say this. I should have said this at the beginning. This sermon is going to be mostly headline updates and what's happening instead of just scripture like I usually do. But it's my transition from one sermon to the next so you understand the next sermon. Okay? So, this right here, printed out, anybody can read it. But there's one very, very interesting aspect to this. Go to the next slide. Here's what they want the next president to do. Dismantle the Department of Justice Religious Liberty Task Force. You remember under the previous administration how many Christian businesses and churches were being sued and attacked for their religious convictions and beliefs? And that stopped during the President Trump. Well, now they want it to go back. They want him to get rid of this department that protects religious liberty in this country. Dismantle the HHS Conscience and Religious Freedom Division. You know those bakers who didn't want to bake cakes that were against what they believed? Now they're going to be forced to if this is removed, or they're going to go out of business. But look at this one. Repeal Executive Order 13798 promoting free speech and religious liberty. The First Amendment. Secular Democrats of America are not even trying to hide that they want the First Amendment for others destroyed. They're not for defending the Constitution anymore. They write it out there and it's here for you to read. This is on the internet. Look it up. They want free speech gone. And what have we seen in the last week? Free speech being censored. Parler. Just rug pulled out from under them. People being censored. Congresswomen and men asking for a new entity in government to reel in the media or any media that they don't like. Facebook and them banning anybody's conservative views. And one lady said that the conservative view is evil and we need to ban it. Free speech? Constitution? Does it matter anymore? Biden has promised to be one of the most progressive presidents in history. He's also claiming he will be the most pro-equality president. Go to the next slide. Biden's ambitious LGBT agenda poses him to be the nation's most pro-equality president in history. This is a Washington Post article. You can look it up. This is where I want to bring up the Equality Act. The Equality Act is something that is going to further strip away religious liberties, especially dealing with the homosexual agenda, what we can say, what we can't say. He promises to go beyond what President Obama did in this area. Go to the next slide. Now advocates say the 78-year-old will be the nation's most pro-LGBTQ president ever. Next slide talks about transgender rights have become a lightning rod in the relentless culture war that has come to dominate American politics, pitting conservative Christians who want their religious views. And again, they call our religious views hate, intolerance. It's not. Our view of homosexuality, of all sexual immorality, from adultery to fornication to pedophilia, whatever you want to call, it's not done inside of a marriage between a man and a woman. Sex is wrong. God can make the rules because He created it all. Any sexual activity outside what He designed is sinful. So we're not just picking on the homosexual agenda here. But what they don't want is to hear that it's sinful. And you have to repent. They don't want to hear that. So it causes friction, causes us to be on one side or the other. We're not hating, we're loving the homosexual, we're loving the adulterer, we're loving the pedophile. Because we tell them, repent, be forgiven, be washed in the blood of the Lamb so that you don't stand the judgment of God. See, real love, 1 Corinthians 13, does not rejoice in iniquity, in sin, in falsehood, but rejoices in the truth. We tell the sinner the truth. They may not like to hear the truth, and so they say we're hateful and intolerant, but that's not the case. Now, the whole, as bad as it's going, has been, and maybe it's going to get this whole homosexual agenda and the gender transgenderism here, it's really taking root and it's really warping a lot of people's minds, even in the government, in the Congress. This last week, or about a week and a half, this Representative Cleaver ends opening prayer for new Congress with amen and a woman. I don't know if you heard this. All right. Now, just days before, like 2 days before he did this prayer, Nancy Pelosi, put out new House rules, says she will help the body become more inclusive. A 45-page package that will be voted on Monday strips all mention of gender-specific pronouns in terms such as man, woman, mother, and son. All right. And amen. It's not gender. It's not a gender-based word. It's gender-neutral. Just because men is in it doesn't mean amen just basically says, that is true, I agree with it. You amen a statement. But he, in his, I guess, ignorance of what it really means, added amen and a woman. I want you to listen to his prayer. Play the thing.
May the Lord make His face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. May the Lord lift up the light of His countenance upon us and give us peace. Peace in our families. Peace across this land. And dare I ask, O Lord, peace even in this chamber, now and evermore. We ask it in the name of the monotheistic God, Brahma, and God known by many names, by many different faiths. A man and a woman.
All right. Just leave it there. First he said monotheistic God, and then he said Brahma. I don't know if he meant to separate them, but it sounds like he put them together. Brahma is the Hindu god of all creation. Then he said, and the God known by many other names. Because that's another deception I didn't even cover, but it's another deception out there that doesn't matter who you're praying to, all the names of God, they're all the same God. Doesn't matter if you pray to Allah, whatever, you're all praying to God. No. God is Yahweh. He revealed Himself in Jesus Christ, who is also God, the Son. He is the visible image of the invisible God. There's only one living God. But here we're praying now. The Congress is opening up, praying to Hindu gods and any other god. The deception is out there. And then he ends it with a man and a woman. That's as ridiculous as this next slide. Okay. Hey, I got good news for you women. All these COVID mandates, they're just for the men. You women, you're free to go. Play the next video.
Nancy Pelosi's rules package for the 117th Congress bans the word mother from congressional rules language. I kid you not. The rules package also bans the words father, daughter, son, aunt, uncle, stepson, daughter-in-law, and all other gendered language. This is why, according to Pelosi's document, the new rules will, quote, modernize the use of pronouns, familial relationship terminology, and other references to gender in order to be inclusive of all members, delegates, resident commissioners, employees of the House, and their families, end quote. Instead of normal words like mother, father, son, daughter, aunt, uncle, sister-in-law, stepson, etc., Pelosi's new rules package would change the words to sibling-in-law and stepchild and parent's sibling. Can you hear how dumb that would sound? Hi, this is my uncle, I mean, my parent's sibling. May I introduce you to my 50-year-old son-in-law, child-in-law? What's even stupider is take a look at Nancy Pelosi's own Twitter profile. She calls herself a mother and a grandmother. You can see it for yourself. Speaker of the House, focused on strengthening America's middle class and creating jobs. Mother, grandmother, dark chocolate connoisseur, end quote. In other words, Pelosi doesn't even believe this garbage is inclusive herself. She is doing it for political reasons, and I will tell you why. There are three reasons the Democrats are trying to erase gender. Reason number one, the radical leftist Democrats want to erode parental rights. They believe government is superior to families, and that parents must get the A-OK from government officials to raise their kids. So the Democrats want to erase words like mother and father that tell us that these are the two people who conceived and bore this child. These are the two people who love this child and are raising this child and therefore have a right to make the decision best for their own child. Democrats hate that. By the way, this, of course, is part of the larger leftist effort to make sure kids aren't indoctrinated with Christianity or conservatism and that parents don't have the choice to take their kids to church or to send their kids to private school, or homeschool their children, to make sure, instead, that kids are brainwashed in government-run public schools that are teaching critical race theory and transgenderism and revisionist anti-American, anti-white history. That's reason number one. Reason number two, the radical leftist Democrats want to break up the traditional nuclear family so that people are dependent on the government. Here's how it works. If you erase gender, you erase traditional gender roles, which erases traditional relationships, which erases traditional marriage, which erases the family unit, which renders people dependent on government instead of their family, which benefits government officials who want absolute power over people's lives. That's reason number two. Reason number three, the radical leftist Democrats want to eliminate objective truth so that you cannot argue against their ideology. For example, if there's no such thing as true or false, right or wrong, man or woman, fact or fiction, then Democrats can simply brand you as wrongthink if you so much as challenge their Orwellian utopia. These radical leftists want the power to force you to abandon your religious beliefs or else be socially ostracized, violate your conscience, or violate the law. Legislatively coerce compliance with atheist, relativist, politically motivated religion versus the gospel of Jesus Christ. So go ahead, please. Laugh at how stupid Nancy Pelosi is. She deserves it. But do not let this battle go. If conservatives abandon ship on gender theory, the way that conservatives surrendered the public school system to the radical left decades ago, our nation will never be the same.
And there's where I will part disagree with this lady, young lady. Our nation will never be the same. It's never going to be the same. Let me be very clear. I'm a patriot, you know that. I love my country and what it's supposed to represent. I've served my country. But we must understand a very hard fact, Christians. As believers in Jesus Christ, we are not here as the church to save the nation of the United States of America. Many Christians are trying to serve Christ for the purpose of getting our nation back. The Bible is clear. All nations will eventually come against Israel and against God. All nations will fall under the Antichrist and the New World Order. The Bible is clear. We are not here to save a nation. And I think it is too late to even try anyway, if we were. But we are here about the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are here to save people. Because the New World Order is coming, which I, you know, is the tribulation period, as the Bible calls it, and then judgment. And we need to warn people. That's all we need to be about. Not trying to save the nation. You know, the people pushing these crazy agendas do not want the truth of God. They don't want people being told they need to depend on God, upon Jesus Christ, and not government. And so they will begin to shame and to mock anyone who stands and says, no, look to God, look to Jesus Christ. They're going to start mocking them. They're going to start trying to shame them. They're going to try to get them out of the public arena. How do I know this? Well, when a major news media feels it's okay to mock an elected official for his biblical views, they can go after a senator, or they can censor the president. What are they going to do with us? Go to the next slide. CNN's Cruz Cuomo mocks Marco Rubio's faith. Mr. Bible Boy has a Bible quote for every moment. That's a good thing. When Jesus was tempted by Satan, three temptations. How did Jesus respond to each temptation? Quoted the Word of God. That's a good thing. But they can now they're going to start openly mocking. And you notice they're not mocking any other faith but Christianity. You do realize that, right? Christians are free game. Here's the problem. As John MacArthur put it, America's most moral decline is a spiritual problem, not a political one. And its solution is the gospel, not partisan politics. We are to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ because that's what frees people. That's what heals people. But we're not bringing it to save our nation because then we bring the gospel because our love for Christ, and He commanded us to do so. And we do it so other people can be saved. We don't do it with an agenda that if we do it, then we'll get our country back. Let the country go, folks. And that's coming from a patriot. All this deception you see on one side, Christianity on the other side. This is all designed. It all has purpose. We know from 2 Thessalonians that Satan has been working for a long time. Says he's already been at work setting up everything that he wants to fall into place. God has warned us. He has shown us. All this deception has a purpose. And one of the major purposes is isolating God's people against the unbelieving world. And we're not against them. We're for them. We're for them to find the truth. All these deceptions, all these agendas. But before we move on to the great deception, I need to focus on that last one more time, the coronavirus. I made some people upset last week. Let me be very clear about this. If I say something up here that bothers you, you do the Christian thing. You come talk to me. Don't run to somebody else, complain and gripe, and then run to somebody else and run somebody else. That's unbiblical. It's unchristlike. I'm not unapproachable. If you have a problem with something I say up here, you come talk to me. We'll sit down in love and discuss it. Stop griping and complaining behind the scenes. That just spreads discontentment. It spreads criticalness. It's a poison that kills churches. Stop doing it. Some people are upset what I had to say last week. Let me be very clear. If I say something up here, it's backed up with lots of research. And if you want to see my research, I'll show you my research. I don't just listen to one side and get all my information from one side. I listen to it all. And we compare. Like we're going to do the rest of the sermon today. The coronavirus is the biggest deception and mechanism to bring about the changes in our country and in the world for a new world order. Let's begin at the beginning. where this all started. Back in October of 2019. At an event called Event 201. Have you ever heard of it? How many of you have heard of Event 201? Okay, a couple of you, not many. Event 201, coronavirus outbreak, had its own simulation event recently. It was called Event 201. This was back in October 2019. Look it up. Google it. Event 201. The World Economic Forum put it on in conjunction with Bill Gates. His name is coming up a lot in the last year. Also remember the World Economic Forum name. This is not a conspiracy. You can go look it up yourself. It's out there. They got together, and it was basically a war game, like what we call the military, a war game, or a scenario where they pick it, something bad is going to happen, and how should the government respond? How should all the services, medical, law enforcement, how should we respond to? And here in Event 201, it was a pandemic, a coronavirus. Now, coronavirus has been around. We've known they've been trying to work on coronaviruses, vaccines for 20 years and have been unable to do it until this last year. But hold off on that because I got more to say there. Coronaviruses have been around for a while. But here in October 2019, they had this in New York City. All these great leaders and business people got together, the World Economic Forum, which is in part of the United Nations, and they held this event with a coronavirus hitting the world, a pandemic, and how everything was going to function, how it would play out. Now, in this Event 201, it went on for a couple days, they were giving out a little stuffed toy as a keepsake for Event 201. Go to the next slide. You guys do realize what that is, right? It's coronavirus, which we know, and they're telling us, is a killer virus. And they're making little stuffed cute toys of a killer virus? That's sick! October 2019. When did coronavirus start? No, that's when they were talking about it. Now, there are reports that the coronavirus was here in October or November and December of 2019. But we started hearing about it after the first of the year, right? But they were talking about it in October. Are they prophets? Maybe they're prophetic. They just knew that they better have this Event 201 in October because within a couple months, there was going to be a real coronavirus pandemic. There's no understanding of how this pandemic started. Some say it was an accident. Some say it was let out on purpose. Nobody knows, but that's not the point. The point is, it's out there, and the powers that are out there are using it. Never let a good crisis go to waste. They're using it to further their agendas, the big agenda, the great deception agenda. All the little deceptions are leading us up to accepting the big deception. I want you to watch this next clip and listen to the Prime Minister of Canada.
This pandemic has provided an opportunity for a reset. This is our chance to accelerate our pre-pandemic efforts to reimagine economic systems that actually address global challenges like extreme poverty, inequality, and climate change. Building back better means getting support to the most vulnerable while maintaining our momentum on reaching the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development and the SDGs.
Okay. You're going to see him again in a second, but he was talking about this pandemic has given us and accelerated our pre-pandemic efforts. So they had something in agenda before the pandemic even came out. But the pandemic now can help them get what they wanted to do in the first place done. And I talked about a great reset. Here's an article, The Great Reset, Dystopian Future. Now, for lack of time, go to the next slide. You can look this up yourselves and read the whole article. Many are calling for a global reset to put the world back on sound footing. Leaders and elites are not idle. They're jumping onto this, a reboot. And it says, never let a good crisis go to waste. Go to the next slide. Because of the virus, this has given them an opportunity to reset everything. I thought the pandemic was a medical issue. No, they want to reset the economy, society in general, the geopolitical environment, the environment, and technology. They're using one thing, a virus, as an excuse to let's change everything. And not just change everything. Go to the next slide. The scale of change called for, by definition, is global. This is a new world order. It is global in nature. It is to lay waste the current world order of nations. And then to lay the foundation for what? A new world order. You can go on this website, WEC.org. You can read this for yourself, their agenda. Let's continue in this article. The kind of globalist new world order is not new. You can see there and there. In 1994, Rockefeller was quoted at a UN dinner as saying, "We're on the verge of a global transformation. All we need is the right major crisis, and the nations will accept the New World Order." David Rockefeller wrote in his 2002 memoirs, "Some even believe we are part of a secret cabal working against the best interests of the United States, characterizing my family and me as internationalists, and of conspiring with others around the world to build a more integrated global political and economic structure. One world, if you will. If that's the charge, I stand guilty and I'm proud of it." I want you to listen to this video again and listen for the words, not just reset, but build back better. Go.
This pandemic has provided an opportunity for a reset. This is our chance to accelerate our pre-pandemic efforts to reimagine economic systems that actually address global challenges like extreme poverty, inequality, and climate change. Building back better means getting support to the most vulnerable while maintaining our momentum on reaching the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development and the SDGs.
Okay. Build back better. And he tied it to the 2030 Agenda. Go to the next slide. Canadian Justin Trudeau ties COVID-19 recovery to reset. Remember, it's global reset of all things. And the UN Agenda 2030. What is that? Go to the next one. Click. Now, go ahead and turn the volume down. I showed you guys this video before. I'm going to play it a little bit again for some of you who wasn't here. I'm going to break this video down next week. But again, I wanted to show you what the 2030 agenda is under the World Economic Forum, under the United Nations, where they say you'll own nothing and you'll be happy. That the world, the U.S., is no longer the superpower in the world. They've brought her down. They've radically transformed her. And now there's a group of nations controlling all things. Oh, did they read the Bible and get all this stuff from the Bible? Because it sure sounds like they did. It goes on and on and on. Everything in this video is not good. We will break this video down. But this 2030 agenda is this global reset. Now, play the next video. Turn the volume up.
We can do this. We can build back better. And I'm looking forward to getting started.
Go back. You, Levi, go back. There you go. This starts off with Joe Biden's campaign. What was his motto? Build back better. Go for it. Now play it.
We can do this. We can build back better. And I'm looking forward to getting started as soon as we can.
This pandemic has provided an opportunity for a reset. This is our chance to accelerate our pre-pandemic efforts to reimagine economic systems that actually address global challenges like extreme poverty, inequality, and climate change. Building back better means getting support to the most vulnerable while maintaining our momentum on reaching the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development and the SDGs.
The third foundation is to build back better to create a stronger, more resilient Canada.
But after all we've been through, it isn't enough just to go back to normal. We've lost too much. We've mourned too many. We've been through too much frustration and hardship just to settle for the status quo ante, to think that life can go on as it was before the plague. And it will not, because history teaches us that events of this magnitude, wars, famines, plagues, events that affect the vast bulk of humanity, as this virus has, they don't just come and go. They are more often than not the trigger for an acceleration of social and economic change, because we human beings will simply not content ourselves with a repair job. We see these moments as the time to learn and to improve on the world that went before. And that's why this government will build back better.
Start listening to that, for that phrase, build back better amongst world leaders. Build back better. That is code for the 2030 Agenda. 2030 Agenda, which I'll explain in depth next week, is the New World Order. They want it in place, up and running by 2030. They want it actually before then. They're using this virus as a means to get there quicker. They're wanting it implemented in the next 2 years. At least start laying the groundwork. And unfortunately, Joe Biden's on board. Nice one. He's been on board for a while. 2013, he said, the affirmative task we have now is to actually create a new world order. Here's a news article, Biden's New World Order and UN Agenda 2030, One World Government. They're on board. They believe this is a good thing. I'll share why next week. But here's another term that I know Biden is on board with, this whole agenda, dark winter. Play the next clip and listen for dark winter.
Vice President Biden, your reaction, and just 40% of Americans say they would definitely agree to take a coronavirus vaccine if it was approved by the government. What steps would you take to give Americans confidence in a vaccine if it were approved?
Make sure it's totally transparent. Have the scientists of the world see it, know it, look at it, go through all the processes. And by the way, this is the same fellow who told you this is going to end by Easter last time. This is the same fellow who told you that, don't worry, we're going to end this by the summer. We're about to go into a dark winter, a dark winter. And he has no clear plan, and there's no prospect that there's going to be a vaccine available for the majority of the American people before the middle of next year.
All right, the term dark winter connected to the pandemic. Where do you get that phrase? Well, that was a phrase coined up by the event 201 back in October of 2019. That's how they wanted to describe the winter scenario part of their event, dark winter. Why is Biden using that term? Where did he get it from? See, I'm bored. The World Economic Forum is connected to this, as I've been showing. Bill Gates. Gordon came in this morning and said, hey, did you see the news this morning? I said, yeah, about Bill Gates. I said, oh, I knew exactly what he was talking about. It came out last night, actually, that Bill Gates now is the greatest farmer, owns more farm and farmland than anyone else. Why is Bill Gates in the farming industry? gee, there's a lot of ways you can control people, isn't there? Fear, food. This virus that Event 201 seemed to know about coming, and then it's come on, there are many medical doctors, many, and I'm going to show you here in a second, that are saying it's fake, it's not a pandemic. This is the other side, the side you're not allowed to hear any longer in the United States, but I'm going to show it to you. Fake pandemic, a plandemic, you'll see that in a minute. This virus is causing, though, they're using, world leaders are using this to take control, to grab power, to get their agendas done. Did you hear the bill proposed in New York this last week? A416 by Governor Cuomo? Play the next video.
A new bill has been introduced in the state of New York, Assembly Bill A416. I encourage you to go read it for yourself. Assembly Bill A416 will allow the governor and any public health official in the state to round you up and detain you in a detention facility if you are potentially a case, contact, or carrier of a virus like COVID-19. You can't make this up. This makes 1984 look tame. This is the description of the bill itself, and I quote, Assembly Bill A416 relates to the removal of cases, contacts, and carriers of communicable diseases who are potentially dangerous to the public health. The bill says, and I quote, the provisions of this section shall be utilized in the event that the governor declares a state health emergency due to an epidemic of any communicable disease, end quote. The bill keeps going, and I quote, upon determining by clear and convincing evidence that the health of others is or may be endangered by a case, contact, or carrier, or suspected case, contact, or carrier of a contagious disease that, in the opinion of the governor, after consultation with the commissioner, may pose an imminent and significant threat to the public health, resulting in severe morbidity or high mortality, the governor or his or her delegee, including but not limited to the commissioner or the heads of local health departments, may order the removal and or detention of such a person or of a group of such persons by issuing a single order identifying such persons either by name
What this is saying is, in New York, if this passes, you can read it here, you can look it online, that if they think you've been in contact with somebody, you're a danger, then they can take you and they can hold you indefinitely in a camp for your own safety and for the safety of the public. If you don't get the vaccine, you could be considered a danger to society. One congresswoman put that those who don't wear their mask or don't want to wear a mask, as in they are committing biological warfare on others, called them terrorists as well. And this bill gives the government authority to come and get you, individual or a group of people. So let's say a church is having church and somehow they figured out that someone there maybe was contacted, it was around coronavirus, may have it. They can come in and say that this whole group is a danger to the public. It's a scary bill. They're already getting things ready to track people using your phones. Go to the next slide. Companies developing apps to upload vaccine passports. You're going to need a passport to go anywhere, even outside your town, stores. You're going to have to verify that you're safe, you're vaccinated. Go to the next slide. You've got to have this, what they call a vaccine passport, or green passport, and all the names for it. But you're going to have to prove that you've been vaccinated. But there's a major problem with the vaccination, folks. Go to the next slide. I want you to look for this. And you're not going to find this on YouTube. It's been banned from YouTube. But you can go to a new website called Brand New, like a brand new car. Brand New Tube, like YouTube, but no YouTube on it, just Tube. Brand New Tube. They have this video. It's a half hour long, and there's multiples. But these are doctors coming out, and I want you to listen. I cut it down to I cut it down to like 3 minutes, I think. Go ahead and play it.
My name is Andrew Kaufman. I'm a medical doctor and board-certified forensic psychiatrist. This pandemic is not a real medical pandemic. The COVID-19 vaccine is not proven safe or effective because there has not been enough time. In addition, there is not a clear definition of any new disease for which it can be tested against. There has not been a virus that has been purified or shown to be the cause of an illness. Thus, there is no target for a vaccine. However, the bottom line is that since no additional deaths have occurred in relation to a new disease, there is simply no need for a new vaccine.
Hi, my name is Hilde Smets. I'm a Belgian medical doctor, and I'd like to say that a new COVID-19 vaccine is not safe and that there is no global medical pandemic. For almost 20 years, the pharmaceutical industry has been trying to develop corona vaccines, but never managed because they saw in the animal trials that there were serious side effects, autoimmune disorders, when the animal was exposed to a new wild-type virus. These autoimmune disorders are comparable with the complications we have seen in some COVID-19 patients. Now, due to the excuse of a global pandemic, the pharma industry has the permission to skip the animal trials. This means that we humans will be the guinea pigs, and we might get severe side effects when we are exposed to new viruses.
Doctors aren't allowed to question COVID-19 in public. Material containing the truth about the alleged disease and the vaccine is banned. In the last year, I've been demonized and lied about, and a 50-year career and reputation trashed by those promoting a pandemic that never was and a vaccine that was never needed. The whole COVID-19 scam is, as I said in March 2020, the greatest hoax in history. The principle of informed consent is essential in medicine, but patients now having vaccines can't give informed consent because they aren't being informed. Thank heavens for sites such as Brand YouTube, which carry uncensored videos by doctors who've been censored or banned elsewhere.
My name is Dr. Johan Dennis from Belgium. The corona vaccine is not proven safe or effective. There is no medical emergency. It is a fake pandemic. The coronavirus is, in terms of harmfulness, mortality and transmissibility, comparable to a seasonal flu. And I can only reject the extreme disproportionate measures that are taken by our governments. There is no emergency situation. It was all orchestrated to make you fearful enough to take the vaccine. This vaccine is just not proven safe. It has been developed too quickly. We have no idea what the long-term effects will be. It needs much more investigation. There is no hurry or emergency. It might possibly change your DNA. This is irreversible and irreparable for all future generations. An experiment on humanity. I would never give it to myself, my patients, or my loved ones. We are no guinea pigs. There is nanotechnology present in this vaccine. Nanobots in hydrogels have been developed for military purposes. There are strong indications it could make you a controllable puppet by means of your own smartphone, connected with a 5G network and artificial intelligence. In this way, you could lose everything that makes you human. So please inform yourself well before you decide. Very useful information can be found on the website of Robert Kennedy, childrenshealthdefense.org.
My name is Dr. Carrie Made. I am an internal medicine physician from the United States of America. I've owned my own clinic, and I've been medical director of two different clinics, as well as being an attending physician for medical students over the last 19 years. I'm here to tell you that there is no worldwide pandemic for COVID-19. We're using testing mechanisms called PCR that have never been indicated or created to diagnose any infection, This is not the way we should be diagnosing. In addition, hospitals and doctors are getting financial incentives to diagnose COVID-19. On top of that, we have multiple lab errors happening around the world over and over, indicating more false positives. On top of that, I am here to tell you that I will not take the COVID-19 vaccine, and I will not recommend the COVID-19 vaccine for any of my patients. This vaccine is experimental on the human race because they are proposing to use modified messenger RNA or modified DNA synthetic to the human body. This is the first time ever this will ever be launched on the human race. We don't know what could happen to us. In addition, they're proposing to use nanolipid technology or nanotechnology on the human race as well. There are so many different awful things that can happen to us, and we need to investigate this before we go forward. This is my alarm call to the world.
Next video.
We now have results from front-runner vaccines from these hybrid trials where they skipped over the animals trials. FDA, in it absolutely ignoring safety margin, in a stunning decision, decided to allow Moderna and other vaccine manufacturers to skip the most important step in vaccine safety for coronavirus, which is the animal trials, to see if there's pathogenic priming, to see if this particular vaccine or that particular vaccine might cause serious problems through pathogenic priming. It's unbelievable that the FDA made this decision. And, you know, we made this specific recommendation that they do that in my study that I published. 21% of people are having serious adverse events from this vaccine in that trial. The other ones haven't published their data yet to the point where we can understand that. Like Dr. New said, they're supposed to be transparent. Right? You need to be a scientist first and a qualified one at that to conduct public health, and you can't just repeat, regurgitate what the CDC has to say. All right? So now we have really good news. Why do we not hear good news on treatments from our public health officials? Shame on them. They're keeping people in fear. Intentionally. Why? It's fair enough to speculate that perhaps after the election we will see a disappearance of their concern over coronavirus. So those people who would like to add coronavirus vaccine mandates to our society's response have to understand a few things. First of all, it's a disproportionate response given the rate of mortality. If you're not over 70 years old, you have less of a chance of dying of coronavirus than you do from influenza, thank goodness. However, if you want to mandate coronavirus vaccines, understand that you're going to probably, if you're a medical physician, hear me well, if you want to reject 21% of your patients, and that's a low number, that's a lowball number, if you want to kick 21% of your patients out of your practice, be my guest, those patients are probably better off without you. And then on top of it, we're bringing quaternary ammonium compounds into schools. I'm going to spell a name for you, H-R-U-B-E-C, Terry Hrubek. The H is not pronounced, Terry Hrubek. She did studies of these cleaners that we're bringing into the schools and we're spraying all over the schools every day or every week to fight coronavirus. She found in mice neural tube defects to the rate of 15% of the pups and a reduction in the reproductive capacity of both male and female mice of 50% with these, they're called quads. Look them up. I just did an Unbreaking Science episode. Look at hashtag Unbreaking Science. I interviewed Dr. Hrubek yesterday. What are we doing to our children, exposing them to these cleaners that might shut down their reproduction, that might harm their immune systems, that might cause their children for two generations to be less reproductively capable?
Click. I'm going to hold you for a few more minutes, but I'm so close. I'm so close. All right, I'm almost done. Those videos were very long. One was 30 minutes, one was 20-something minutes, and I cut them down as much as I could to get you the main information. There's so much there. There's so many more out there. One thing in the first video, and it's like 30 minutes long, all these different doctors, one doctor got on there and is explaining that during the coronavirus, there's so much side effects with coronavirus vaccines that they've stopped trying to make them until this year because the mice were having, yeah, it would give them a vaccine for that virus, but the next virus would kill them. It just destroyed their immune system for the next virus. And she was saying that 51% of male and female mice were coming up sterile. That's what he was saying with the chemicals they're using to clean the schools to kill the coronavirus, that they cause people to go sterile. Now, here you go. This defines 2020. You got one side saying this, another side saying the exact opposite. Where do us who aren't medical doctors and scientists, who do we believe? That's where you're going to do your research. But I'll tell you where I stand, and I'm not trying to manipulate you to believe one way or another. You need to make up your own mind here. But I can be honest with you. I don't trust the government. And doctors that are supporting the government agenda, they lost credibility. These doctors over here in the video, they have lost, some of them have lost their careers, their businesses, their practices, their reputation. They have everything to lose coming out against it. They have more credibility in my book than the doctors who are carrying the government agenda. We know that those 75 or older, 70 to 75 that are older, those are the target people for a vaccine. But they're wanting to vaccine everyone in the world. Everyone. Why? For a virus that is 99.6 survival rate. It doesn't make sense. Why are they wanting to vaccinate our children? I had to ponder on this. Pray, I was like, Lord, what is going on? Why are, this is not a deadly disease. I talked about last week how they've managed the numbers, the death rate numbers, to make it look like it sound bad, but it's not. Not as bad as any other year. I even have evidence that the flu season 2 years ago killed more people than COVID has. If you want to see that, you can come. I'll show you. The sterilization thing started making me think. New World Order, this is part of this virus, is being used in the 2030 agenda. And it hit me. I used to live in Georgia. There was something called the Georgia Guidestones. They're still there. Go to the next slide. They're very mysterious. No one knows who paid for it to be built. $500,000 to build this thing. It's out in the middle of nowhere in Georgia. I drove over there one day. It's a weird, creepy place. But it's known as the Ten Commandments of the New World Order. Okay? And they've been there since the 80s. I think it was built in 1980. I want to show you something. I remember because I was here. I went to this site to see this. Zoom in. Levi, next slide. The first order, maintain humanity under 500 million. In perpetual balance with nature. Here's where your globalists, your environmentalists, the climate change people, they call humanity a cancer on the planet. How many times have you heard the planet is overpopulated? Which it is not. That's a lie. But they think that the Earth would be healthier with just 500 million. How many people are on the planet right now? Close to 8 billion. Look at the second commandment. Guide reproduction wisely. We already have some nations that control when you can get pregnant, when you can't, what board, babies have to be aborted, what's not. When I looked at the vaccine and I listened to all these doctors, and there was the sterilization aspect of it, and I remember this, are they trying to get humanity down? They're trying to kill humanity's ability to reproduce for a couple generations? Is this part of it? Because why do they want to vaccine our children when our children have 100% survivability rate? Los Angeles students required to get COVID-19 vaccine before returning to school. There's a teacher in another state that said they're not going to be required to get the vaccine, but if they don't get the vaccine and they get COVID, they're not going to get their sick pay. while they're at home. And while they're at home not getting their sick pay, they have to pay for the substitute teacher out of their own pocket. So it's kind of like, oh, teachers, you better get the COVID vaccine. California to use stadiums as COVID-19 vaccination centers. They need a big area because they want to mass vaccinate everybody. All this deception on one side and the Bible-believing Christian on the other. Go to the next slide. All this deception and the Bible-believing Christian on one side. The coronavirus is making way for the great deception, which is this 2030 agenda, this new world order, this utopia that the elites and government leaders want to bring into existence. I will break that down next week. But understand these predictions, these 8 predictions for the world in 2030, each one of them, you'll see how the Bible has forewarned us about these things. And this is not a conspiracy. Okay? Go to the next slide. Klaus Schwab said, the pandemic represents a rare but narrow window of opportunity to reflect, reimagine, and reset our world. Go to the next slide. They wrote a book about it. The book is entitled COVID-19, The Great Reset. You look it up. The littler deceptions have just gotten people ready for the great deception. Again, the 8 predictions for the world in 2030, I'll break that down next week. Here's where I want to end, because I know this is heavy and I know I'm out of time. Take a breath. And let me read you Psalms 2. Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves up and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. All these things are taking place. There's plans of humanity to do all sorts of crazy stuff against God and what He wants. But it doesn't matter. Whatever they plan, whatever they try to do, it's not going to put God off His throne. He's in control. We have nothing to fear, folks. This is the greatest opportunity for us to be the church. That's what we need to be focused on. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and I'm done. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord. Always remember you're loved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth to which He called you by our gospel. Whosoever can believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. God is patient that none should perish, but all should come to repentance. For the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, therefore, brethren, church, my brothers and sisters, stand fast and hold the traditions of being salt, of being light, of being His witnesses, of sharing the gospel, of bringing the truth of who God is and Jesus Christ to those who are lost and in being deceived. Hold fast to that tradition that we were taught by the Word, by the epistles. We cannot save our nation, but we can save people. We need to stay focused. How much time for all this to take root? A couple months, a couple years, I don't know. It's coming. Will it be difficult for us? Folks, when Trump became president and the agenda of Obama was stopped for 4 years, the secular socialistic agenda, I told people in here, and I maybe even said it from this pulpit, we have 4 years because we're not guaranteed 8. We have 4 years. It's like we have a little reprieve to get ourselves ready, to understand, because if he only has 4 years, when the other side comes back in, they're going to be mad. I told people they're going to be mad and they're going to want revenge. Look what we have going on this week. They hate the light, the truth of God, and they want to shut us up. A pastor that I greatly respect said some of these things in his sermon last week. YouTube censored it. I don't think when I try to post this tomorrow, YouTube's going to accept this sermon. It's okay. Who is that faithful servant? The faithful servant is the one whom, when his Lord returns, will find so doing the Master's will. Let that be said of us. Don't fear. Understand the reality of what's coming, and persecution's coming our way here in America. We're going to be segregated and separated and made fun of and everything because we're standing for the truth. Praise God, that'll be a badge of honor. That we can suffer for our Lord. And I think we will. But if you're in Christ, you're ready. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I know everything I just said is very heavy, a lot of information. I ask you to help us to take it in, to ponder on it, to test it. Don't let these people just take my word for what I've said. Let them do the research. But Lord, it's time that we stop listening to just one side and get the full picture of what's going on here. Lord, I ask you to help us as your people to understand the times we live. And even though it's dark, it's not pleasant to look around and what's happening and what we're hearing. Lord, you still sit on your throne. Let us realize that. Let us hold on to that. And let us make our stand. Put on the full armor of God and make our stand in the evil day. To be your salt and to be light, to be your witnesses. And when you're ready, Lord, when it's time, you'll deliver us. You'll take us home. But until then, let us be about our Father's business. We pray this in your name. Amen. Thank you again. Thank you. Next week, I'll get done on time. Promise. Promise. God bless you. Let's break from here and go onto the playing field of the world. 3, 2, 1. Break. Let's go.